At Heart in Retirement with George Cole as the Major Hunter. Here is part two.
5 and 8. He used to come in here every morning for 10 5 and 8. Thin fellow, glasses. You're in business, am I right?
Go on.
Let me think. We're talking about a long time ago now. Can't have seen him since. Must have been the end of the war. Still deliver the papers then. Times then. Telegraph now. His young lady, well, young lady as was, still lives there.
Still lives there? You mean Hilda Stewart?
Yeah. With her son.
Has she always lived there?
Oh, yeah. They were always. No. Like that. She'll know where he is if anybody does.
I see. Thank you. But you haven't seen him since the war.
I used to wonder where he was, and then you don't, do you? Stops crossing your mind. No, no. If I'm going to be honest, I thought he was dead.
Oh, dear.
Every blessed time I put my hands in water. Hello? Winsetra speaking. Hello? This is Winsetra speaking. Is anybody there? Oh, dear. Oh, I hate this.
This is all 14 subsidiary companies of Crawfield International.
That's right.
You don't mind if I take this list, do you?
Well, no, I suppose.
Crawfield London, ACD, Crawfield Ceramics.
Oh, here's Miss Stewart now.
Ah, Miss Stewart. Mr. Maybury. Mr. Hanwell. The Triumvirate.
This is Mr. Attard. Do you remember him, Eric? Oliver?
Oh, yes. Walter Attard.
If Arthur were here, we'd have a full old-time board meeting.
A real barbershop quartet.
Yes.
I told you Arthur wouldn't be in today.
Yes. I came to see the young lady at the desk.
So there's nothing we can do for you, Walter.
Thank you, no.
And maybe Miss Stewart could help you, Mr. Attard.
Oh, I don't think so.
Not unless you ask, at any rate.
Mr. Attard was wondering...
I was wondering if anyone knew the address of the cleaner. Edith Empson, who owned the barber shop. That's all. He had a niece. Alice, somebody. No importance.
No, I can't recall.
No matter. Someone in the district should know.
Is that what brought you into town?
Partly, not mainly. But why not? Oh, here's your son, Miss Stewart. You see, I'm a gentleman of leisure now. I can go where my fancy takes me. Excuse me.
Good morning, Ian. Mr. Attard.
Good day,
all.
Follow him, will you, Ian?
What? Why?
Please, I want you to follow him. I'll replace you as soon as I can with somebody else.
Hilda, don't be ridiculous.
Ian.
All right, Mother. What are you saying?
Alice Chapman. Do you think you'll find her?
Yes.
Right, there you are. Give the lady back her car, my little darling, and then we're all set for Full House on the Green Page. It'll be Full House on the Green Page. Now, ladies and gentlemen, while that's happening, I'd just like to tell you that Harry, your manager and friend, Happy Harry, is improving in St. Mary's and shall be back with us sometime next week. Now, isn't that good news? There, give him a clap. I'm sure he'll hear it up at the office.
Could I have a book?
But in the meantime, any problems that you have, ladies, you bring them all to yours truly.
That's the one that is upstairs.
Yes, please.
Now, all right, my darling, bring your problems around any time. Well, you got your book back now, is it, dear?
There
yeah,
we are.
Good. Well, I can't hear you say it louder. Have you got it? Oh, good. Now, the winner's got a book
friend
back.
Of mine,
hey, please, I think we're all set in a minute
Alice
to go on the green carpet of all out. So, you know, get the pencils out. Give them a quick lick and a sharpen, eh?
No, yeah.
About 50.
I'll pick the cross, eh?
I've only been here.
Okie dokie, this is going to be for a full house, I'd say, on the green card.
Thank you.
We'll just wait till the gentleman's ready and then we're off. Are you ready, sir?
They're waiting for you.
In the black coat, sir. Are you ready, sir?
Yes, I'm so sorry.
Ah, well, right you are then. I'll just get my balls back into circulation. And then we're all set. Right we are. Eyes down. green page for the last game before the interval, and this is for Full House only, for £78 and 40 pence. 3 and 4, 34.
Good gracious, so many.
All the twos, 22.
Which is you?
1 and 4, 14. On it, zone number 8.
Hello?
Hello, Mother. I'm outside a bingo club on the Holloway Road. We came here straight from the sweet shop on the corner of Clay Street.
Well, stay there. There'll be somebody to take your place soon. Terry Fisher. I've told him what you're wearing.
I hope he's quick. How do I get back?
I'll send the rover to pick you up.
Thank you.
6 and 3, 63. 4 and 7, 47. 2 fat ladies, 88. On its own, number 9.
Too old. What about...
Legs, 11.
Mm.
5 and 1.
What about
51.
Alice Chapman, I think that's you.
Right, Bob.
I think that's you.
Attard. Walter Attard. What a gent, eh?
You were so big.
Cut off it. Still faint. Oh, God, I can't get over it. Clay Street seems a long way away now, doesn't it, eh? What are you doing in here?
Looking for you.
Me? I'll go on with you. I'm sure you've got better folk to see. Come on. What you doing?
I've come to see you.
How did you know where I was?
I found out from the grocer on the corner of Clay Street.
Wally's boy.
Wally Jones.
That's right. Him has had the barber's shop. Oh, he's been good to me, he has.
He wouldn't give me your address, naturally, not really knowing me.
No.
But he lent me his club membership card to here and said this is where I might find you.
Well.
He said you moved to a place with your Aunt Edith years ago.
Yeah, that's true. Dead now, though, God bless her. Yes. A year this Christmas gone. Good age, you know, nearly 88 she was. There's a lot to go younger.
I'm sorry.
Yes. Anyway, can't all be roses.
It must be lonely for you now.
Lonely? Well, no, not really. I am on my own nowadays, it's true, but I wouldn't say lonely. No, I spend most of my time here. And then I'll get the odd, good-looking accountant popping in to see me. Can't you get my hair done if this keeps up? What did you want before, love?
I'm trying to find Arthur Crawfield.
There's a name to conjure with. You don't still work for him, then?
Oh, sort of.
Whatever that means. I haven't seen him anyway. Not that I would, really. Once the area was bombed, we moved out, of course. We lived in the Methodist Hall on the corner of Hill Street for a couple of weeks, but that's all. Mr. Crawford was running his business from a caravan-type thing parked on the bomb site. But I never saw him again after that night.
What night was that?
What? The bomb?
Yes, the last time you saw him.
August the 16th, 1944, a Wednesday. I'll never forget that night. I forget my own birthday first. All those buzz bombs. Count six and pray. The first bomb fell at 8:45.
Where was Crawford?
In his office. In a rare old state about something or other. He got me and Aunt Edith to witness a paper for him. A form thing, all legal looking. I'd never done it before, put my name through anything. So naturally it was a big thing not having done it before.
What was it?
Oh, I don't know. He got it folded over so we couldn't read it. Just sign there, he says, and put the date. Oh, yes, we put the date as well. And then we left. Quick, sharpish. Bloody bombs like snow they was. And there we were, writing our names on bits of paper.
You've no idea what it was?
No. Of course, we laughed about spying and such. Well, some people used to say he had sympathies with the Germans. God knows why, and I didn't believe it. We just laughed about it, if you understand me.
Was he in his office when you left?
Oh, yes.
And you haven't seen him since?
No. Well, you see, we settled in the East End after that. He's all right, isn't he?
I haven't seen him.
Oh, not since then, you mean?
Well, I've heard from him, naturally.
Of course. Even if you only work for him, sort of, eh?
Yes.
There were several odd things about that night.
What sort of things?
I mean, things that might be of use to someone. I'll just get me winnings while there's no queue.
Yeah.
So, maybe she come about to that.
£10. Not bad, eh?
No.
You're not the first one to ask me questions about Arthur Crawfield, you know.
But if you'd like to...
Not by a long time.
Because we're just ready to start the second act, I'll throw you...
You don't want to come in for the second half, do you? So I'll tell you what. You go away for a bit and think about things. We'll be finished here by 4. Come back then, and if you can find your way to make it worth my while, I'll tell you all I know about that night.
Oh, well, this Chapman, I don't know about that.
Look, they'll be starting in a minute. So, 4 o'clock in here...
You know, the membership card, you ought to give it back to Jones for me.
Well, give it to me later. 4 o'clock.
Oh. Hello, Mother. Terry, whatever his name is, didn't turn up at Holloway Road. I'm now at the company register office in City Road, 51. Have you got that?
Here we are. I've been through the records of all 14 subsidiary companies, and it appears that your Mr. Arthur Crawfield is only on the board of one of them. That is, Arthur Crawfield Limited, which was formed in 1942.
But his name is on most of those subsidiary company titles.
Well, you can name a company anything you like. It doesn't have to be called after one of its directors.
So Arthur Crawfield has had nothing whatsoever to do with the forming of any company since the war?
No, sir. All the directors are variations of Hilda Stewart, Oliver Hanwell, Eric Maybury, and Ian Stewart.
So, Ian Stewart. But no Arthur Crawfield since that first company of all.
That's right, sir.
You, Ian Stewart?
Oh, at last.
Terry Fisher, private investigator. Just got here from City Road. Telephone problem. Where's that out?
He came straight here from the company register. Went to the bank, and he's over there now looking in that jeweler's. See him? Dark coat. Hat.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I've got him.
It seems he's going back into that bingo hall on the corner. Yes. There he goes.
Fine, I'll pull up and park. There's a chauffeur a couple of hundred yards back with your Rover.
Now, there's nobody who'll bother us. At least, Knocklove said what you want to hear.
The 16th of August.
Yes, Edith and me went up there about 8. The place was in a terrible mess.
Arthur's office?
Yes. There was going to be a board meeting the next day, or so he said. But the rumours are up, pigsole, I'm telling you. Another funny thing. Same time, about 8, a big blue car came up Clay Street. You didn't see many coloured cars those days. It was all black. That's why it stuck out in my memory, see? Anyway, it parked on the recce. You know the waste ground alongside number 15 where the car park is now?
Yes.
And it was still there when Aunt Edith and me went off to the shelter. By that time, of course, we'd had the warnings and the buggers were dropping like nobody's business. But this car was still there, calm as you like, the driver just sitting.
Well, you didn't recognise him?
I couldn't see, dear. Not for want of trying, mind you, but it was pouring down that night. Couldn't see through the glass. Heavens hard, cats and dogs.
What happened to the paper that you signed?
Mr. Crawfield said he'd take it round to his bank, by hand. I offered to post it for him, but no, he said, by hand.
I see.
I'm going to tell you something now, Mr. Attard, that I have never uttered to a living soul. But since Aunt Edith's gone, I've seen no harm. That night, she collected Caulfield's rent and Wally Jones's, you know, the barber.
Yeah.
He owed a month. 5 weeks, so it was quite a bit. Well, she put the money in her bag to take it with her. She didn't want to leave it in the flat. Case of looters and such like. There was a lot of that went on during the raid, especially around Tufnell Park. Anyway, we'd reached the shelter when she remembered she'd left the bag in Caulfield's office. Well, blimey, she didn't get up and go back for it. That was the sort of person she was once she'd made up her mind. Anyway, off she went. She came back with the bag about 20 minutes later. She never said anything, but I knew that something had happened. She was, how can I say, well, just different. And she had a smear of blood on the back of her hand. Now, she said she caught it on something, but there was no cut there. She wouldn't talk about the blue car or Crawfield or anything. Just refused even to mention it. Not his name, the car, if she'd seen him again, anything. But, and this is the important thing, Mr. Attard, do you know that from that Wednesday until the day she died, she got a postal order for £10 on the last Thursday of every single month. I know, because I lived with her. I saw them.
She never said who they were from?
No. But I looked at one once. And I know the name of the issuing post office. 50 quid.
Oh, really?
Of course, if it's not important to you.
Do you know which bank Arthur Crawfield was going to take that document to, the one you signed?
That and the post office which issued the postal orders for 50 quid. And the bank wasn't the same as sort of his business.
Oh, Alice.
Oh, come on. What's it to you? People pay more for dafter things. I need a new coat. Look at this rag. Winter's coming on and all.
I've already given you enough for a winter coat.
Well, 40.
40. In here tomorrow afternoon.
It's a deal. God bless you, Mr. Attard.
Alice, you said I wasn't the first person to ask you questions about Mr. Crawfield. Who was?
One of his co-directors. Hilda Stewart.
Hilda Stewart?
Mm. Tomorrow, 4-ish. Alice Chapman here. Edith Emson's niece. Yeah, that's right. I thought you'd remember. I wrote to tell you that she died, didn't I? Yes, well, we were very close, Edie and I. I have been offered 75 quid for information about Arthur Crawfield and what happened on a certain night in August 1944. I mentioned postal orders, but that's all. Now, what I say next is up to you. I'm being paid another visit tomorrow. If you want me to put him off the scent, then you'd somehow better see me tonight. Or perhaps we could come to some arrangement, like what you had with Edie. Mind, times have changed, what with inflation and all. I'll tell you where I'll be.
No, wait. Leave them.
Hey. What? Please, those papers. Leave them, would you?
Stroll on. We've been sent special to pick this lot up.
No, I'm sorry. I do apologize. Sorry. It's a mistake. Please, would you please leave them inside, just in the hallway.
All right, Doug. Thank you.
Mr. Attard.
Well, you want them?
Yes. Good day.
All right.
It's not good enough, Mr. Attard, and this is no smiling matter. I sent for those men myself with no small inconvenience.
I'm sorry. I'm truly sorry, Miss Kirk. I didn't mean to smile, but I needed those papers. Well, now my telephone upstairs is no longer connected. Do you think you could call a taxi cab for me?
Oh,
And I'll take these back to Mrs. Fletcher's.
You'll need a van. You can't get all those in a taxi.
Yeah, the ones I want, Miss Kirk. The ones I want.
Oh. Here's a signature, Walter. July the 12th, it looks like. 1944.
Let me see. Arthur Crawfield.
Here's another. July the 27th.
Arthur Crawfield.
September the 11th.
Yes, give me that. Eric Mabry, P.P. Arthur Crawfield, in his absence.
What's P.P.?
Per pro, by proxy. Is there a document in between, after the 16th of August?
Look, yes, there's a copy of a contract signed on the 17th of August.
Atherton. I remember that. Contract for a chemical factory. Arthur wasn't too keen, if I remember. 17th, the day after the bombing. Arthur Crawfield. Well, the signature's there. Let's compare it with an earlier one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that will do.
Is it good or bad, Walter?
But one thing's for sure, Wynne. These signatures are different. By God, they're different.
You've never allowed me to see any books or any papers connected with Arthur Crawfield Limited. Any other company bar that. Why?
Go away, please, you're bored.
Come on, Mother, this is serious. I'm not a child. Whatever's going on, whatever Attard might stumble across, it's to do with these books, isn't it? And it must be serious. Look at you. What it's doing to you.
Yes, look.
I can go to Oliver or Eric. But I'd rather you told me. Where is my father?
Where do you think he is, huh?
I've no idea.
Think. Why do you think I've never been able to tell you?
Is he dead?
Yes. For God's sake, rest his soul, yes.
When did he die?
Oh, before your time. Just a month or so before your time.
And Attard doesn't know he's dead?
No.
And is that what you don't want him to find out?
Why we covered up. And why he had to die.
Why he had to die? What do you mean, why he had to die?
I don't know.
What are you saying?
Go.
Are you saying he was murdered?
Am I saying that at last? Absolutely.
What do you think, then?
I think he's terrific. Must have knocked you back above or two.
Mm, nice red.
I like the colour.
Courtesy of a gentleman friend.
Oh.
Keep me warm in winter, he said. Nice man, cheers me up. It's really cheered me up to have something new. I can't remember when I last had something new.
Who's the postcard for?
Oh, this. Oh, it's for him. Do him a good turn. Well, I feel like it. I feel all good.
You missed the last post now.
Oh, have I? Oh. Well, if I have, it'll go tomorrow. Same again, please, Vic.
Arthur never signed a document after the 27th of July, 1944.
Oh. But Walter...
No, it's true. Every one of those signatures is a forgery. There's no trace of Arthur since August the 16th, 1944.
So where is he?
I think he's dead, Wynne.
Oh, that's a dreadful thing to say.
I know it is. Well, I shall soon find out. I'm nearly there. Alice will help me.
Who's Alice?
An old flame.
No, don't joke about it. I worry.
You mustn't.
But I do. If you think something's that fishy, why don't you call the police?
Because it's my adventure. Don't you see that, Wynne? All right, Arthur may have hurt his hand in the raid, and so his signature altered. He may not want to see me. He might have thought me inadequate to carry the firm's business and just given me that first account for luck. And I may be just being foolish. But God, I'd forgotten what it was like to get up in the morning because I wanted to do something. To wonder what the end of the day will bring. I feel like a young man again. The last 20 years, my God. What did I do in them?
Well, it was always tomorrow with you, the next and the next. Still is, if I'm there by Mr. Attard.
No, not anymore. Come here, will you?
What?
Come on, come over here a bit, will you? Let me put my arm round you.
Oh, you're a fool.
Me? Dance with me, Wynne.
Walter!
May I have the pleasure of this dance?
But there's no music.
Tonight there is. La da da dee.
La la la.
I hear that both our link-up cups are packed out tonight, ladies and gentlemen, so you can expect a big full-house prize of around £500.
£500. Where are you?
Yes, but that's not the end of the game. Game on.
In the yard.
Yes.
Keep an eye on your coat, isn't it?
Fun games to be had before then, I can tell you. Woo-hoo! And you're having it, aren't you, Mrs. A? Hey, put that man down, I say. I say, put that man down. You wicked girl! Right, here we are now.
The young don't have the prerogative in permissiveness, you know, Wynne. I want to kiss you.
Oh, Walt.
Either that clock's fast or Ivy's watch is slow. I don't know which do you, Tabby, say? Oh, here comes a cow. You better skedaddle, pussy. Go on in then. Hello? Are you looking for me, Alice? Alice Chapman? I thought it was you. No. No! No! Oh, please, don't! No!
Number 8, 2 and 3, 23.
And thus ends part 2 of At Heart and Retirement, and thus ends the roundup for this week. Thanks to my colleagues, Rosemary Allenbach, Mark Murray, Ainsley Vogel, and executive producer Heather Kennedy. I'm Bill Richardson. Next week.